evening. It is my pleasure and privilege to be able to study with you from the Word of God. I will not take time to review those various points that were made this morning, except by way of introduction in saying that we're addressing what is commonly called the AD 70 position, or AD 70 doctrine, or preterism. We're talking about what is sometimes designated full preterism, which simply says that what are ordinarily thought of as end-time events, events such as the second coming of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, the day of judgment, and the end of the world, that all of that occurred in A.D. 70, approximately, when the Roman armies destroyed Jerusalem and brought to an end the Jewish state as it existed at that time. That doctrine is not in harmony with the Bible. We endeavored to show, just by looking at Bible passages this morning, the fact that the Bible shows that three of those four points that I just mentioned, the second coming of Christ, that occurred in not A.D. 70, but at some unspecified future time. We're awaiting the fulfillment of the Bible statements that Jesus will come again. That the idea that there will be a day of judgment future is what the Bible teaches, not that the judgment day, revealed in so many scenes in the Scripture, occurred over 19 centuries ago. And that this world, rather than continuing on basically as it exists now, and will do so on and on, is not what the Bible teaches, but that there will be a time at the coming of our Lord that this world will be destroyed. The elements will melt with fervent heat, and this earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. As I pointed out this morning, my intention for this evening is to focus, at least largely, upon the resurrection. The AD 70 view is that where the Bible talks about a resurrection of the dead, that took place in AD 70. That we do not look forward, should we die, to being raised in a bodily way. That is not the teaching of the Bible, according to these who hold the AD 70 position. I want to look especially at 1 Corinthians 15, but I'm not doing that yet. But that will be the text that we'll spend probably more time on than any other text. But before doing that, I want to look at some questions that I ask Brother Don Preston, whom I debated twice on this question. And these were written questions, and he answered them in writing. And I think several of these that we'll look at in the beginning here are quite revealing to understand the position that these brethren take, and some of the denominational world take, with reference to the matter of the resurrection in particular. In my first question to Brother Preston, I ask, since you affirm that the Bible teaches that the resurrection of the dead occurred at the time of the fall of Jerusalem in A.D. 70, that was essentially the proposition, will anyone who has died during the last 19 centuries be raised from the dead? If yes, please explain and give Bible evidence. Now, Brother Preston does not believe in any future bodily resurrection. Yet here's the way he responded to that question. I might say evaded the question, and I believe got himself into more difficulty in his answer. His answer was, again, the question, will anyone who has died during the last 19 centuries be raised from the dead? He said, all those who came into Christ were and are raised to life. Romans 6, Colossians 2, and so on. Now, if you turn to Romans chapter 6, a passage probably quite familiar to most of us, the Apostle Paul is not talking about a bodily resurrection of people, but rather a likeness to the bodily resurrection of Christ in our being raised to walk that new life after having been baptized into Christ. Let me just read it to you. Romans 6, starting in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead, now that's a bodily resurrection, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, notice, a likeness to the death of Christ, that's a physical death, but a likeness of that is when we are buried in baptism, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. There is a likeness, a similarity in some respects, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and our obedience to God in becoming Christians. We turn from or die to sin, so to speak. We are buried in the waters of baptism, and then we're raised, and we are now equipped to walk that new life. And so you have a likeness to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in our spiritual obedience. But now Brother Preston said, in answer to my question, will anyone who's died during the last 19 centuries be raised from the dead? He said, all those who are described there in that passage were and will be. Now there's a contradiction to his proposition. If he were honestly answering the question, he would have said, no. There's not going to be anybody raised from the dead, or has been, since A.D. 70. But he didn't want to answer it that way for some reason. He tried to say that in Romans 6 and in Colossians 2, where you have people who are being baptized scripturally and raised to walk a new life, that those people who came into Christ were and are raised to life. But that's not the kind of resurrection that we were talking about in that discussion. And so he evaded the kind of resurrection under consideration. He really did not believe, and these AD 70 people do not believe, that anyone since AD 70 will be raised from the dead. However, since he answered, based upon Romans 6 and Colossians 2, and the resurrection likeness when we're baptized and then brought up to walk that new life, then if that is a resurrection such as I ask about in the question, then his proposition fell, because his proposition was that the resurrection of the dead occurred at the time of the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. Now, if his proposition was true, then there's no one else being raised from the dead. And yet, he tried to make a likeness to the resurrection, the proposition, to people who are scripturally baptized. I'm saying, first, he was dishonest in trying to suggest there is something related to the proposition in Romans 6 and Colossians 2 in people being baptized. But furthermore, even if he really believed that and that was true, that it contradicted his proposition. So I make the point here in the beginning that those who take this AD 70 position are contradictory. Not only do they frequently contradict the Word of God, which of course is a serious matter, but they even contradict their own positions. And any position that is self-contradictory cannot be true. As long as we're following the Word of God, then we'll be consistent. We'll be consistent with what is right, and we'll be internally consistent, so to speak. And we will not be led to positions that will actually be contrary to what we believe. In my second question to Brother Preston, I ask this. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, Paul wrote, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at His coming." Now that's what the Bible says. I was simply asking Brother Preston, what does that mean? Please explain this text as it relates to the resurrection of the dead. And here is his entire answer. The language of the text is self-explanatory. Christ was the first in time and order of the resurrection. Now, I don't disagree with that answer, but it contradicts his position. Because what that text shows, and we'll look at 1 Corinthians 15, Lord willing, in some detail shortly, but what that text says, Christ is the first fruits in some connection. What is it? With reference to being raised from the dead. Christ was the first fruits. Now, there had been some people raised from the dead in the Old Testament. There were some during the ministry of Jesus. How could Christ be the first fruits if there were others raised before? Because none of those resurrections is the pattern for us. None of those resurrections assures our resurrection from the dead. But Jesus' resurrection does. That's why Jesus' resurrection is described as being the first fruits. That's the beginning of a process that culminates in the resurrection of all who have died at the coming of Christ. Now that's an important point. These AD 70 folks, at least in general, there may be some difference among them, but in general, they admit that Jesus' resurrection was a bodily resurrection. He came from the grave. Yet, they deny that anyone else, us for example, are going to experience such a resurrection. That the resurrection that was to occur, according to the Bible, happened in AD 70 with the nation of Israel, somehow referring to that as a resurrection, a figurative one at the least. But what this passage shows is that the resurrection of Christ is the pattern. His is the first fruits, which ensures that we also, should we die, will be raised from the dead in the same manner that Jesus was raised, a bodily resurrection. So though I agree with the answer that Brother Preston gave there, that this text is very clear that it denies his position because he doesn't believe really that Christ is the first fruits in regard to the resurrection because his resurrection is totally dissimilar to the resurrection that he believes the Bible talks about. That is, that which happened supposedly in AD 70. Not a bodily resurrection at all and does not include us at all. Again, I'll say more about the context of 1 Corinthians 15 along the way. My question number three to him, and to me this was an interesting thing. I think I alluded to it this morning. What events will happen at the end of the current Christian age? I asked for Bible references. He said, the Christian age has no end. And he claims Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 teaches that, and you can turn there and see if it teaches the Christian age has no end. That is, that this world in which we live, this order of things is going to continue on and on and on without end. Whereas the Bible teaches, in 1 Corinthians 15 is one such passage, shows that there will be a time that is called the end. Then cometh the end, Paul said. So there is an end of this present order according to the Bible, but Brother Preston says the present order continues on and on. Question number four. Who were the dead who were raised from the dead in AD 70? Be as specific as possible and provide Bible references. His answer was, Israel, and it's a figurative resurrection according to him, the people of Nineveh and the south would rise with that generation. Again, he doesn't believe it's a bodily resurrection though, but in some way, those people of Nineveh were going to be involved in this resurrection that supposedly happened in AD 70. All the martyrs, he said, would be raised, but don't be confused with a bodily resurrection. That's not what he believes. And then he said, all the dead, small and great, and he cites Revelation 20, verse 10, as if that is the group that were raised from the dead in AD 70. Let me ask you, do you know anyone who has died during your lifetime? Maybe you've attended, I imagine everybody has, attended funerals where people have died. Have those people been raised from the dead? Has the resurrection of the dead been fulfilled in the cases of people that we know? Certainly, that has not been fulfilled. All the dead, small and great, have not been raised, but Brother Preston said that happened in AD 70. Clearly, contradictory to common sense and reason as well as contradictory to the Bible. My question five, when Jesus was raised from the dead, was His body raised, that is, brought to life again? That's a simple question. In speaking of the resurrection of Jesus, was His body raised? A physical, bodily resurrection? Brother Preston's answer was quite straightforward. Yes. Now that's important that we understand the nature of Jesus' resurrection. A bodily resurrection. A resurrection of His body in that the Spirit re-inhabited that body and He was brought forth. Now He admits that was a bodily resurrection. But as we've already suggested in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we learn that we'll be involved in a resurrection of that kind because Jesus was the first fruits of those who slept. So he has a problem there, and all of the AD 70 brethren do in dealing with these Bible passages on the resurrection. This is an interesting question, and I want to spend just a little bit of time. It's by way of consequences. The consequences to this AD 70 position. My question was, which of the following is or are practiced among those whom you recognize as faithful servants of God today? These AD 70 brethren, I want to know which of these things, and I listed three, are practiced by them today. Those three things were water baptism, the Lord's Supper, and marriage. Are those things being practiced by our AD 70 brethren today? Now, Brother Preston's answer was yes to all of them. Now, I find that very interesting because, again, we find an inconsistent position held by these AD 70 brethren. Let's first deal with water baptism. Why should water baptism be practiced today if the resurrection happened in AD 70? Remember on an earlier question, he referred to water baptism and he said people are still being baptized and that there's a resurrection associated with that. But the fact is that if the resurrection happened in AD 70, there's no need for any resurrection today. That's according to their position. It happened in AD 70. But there's a resurrection, according to his application, in connection with baptism. If the resurrection happened in AD 70, then there's no resurrection that is involved in baptism. And therefore, baptism should not be practiced in the way the New Testament describes it. And then secondly, we can elaborate on these, but I want to move along. Secondly, this matter of the Lord's Supper. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a well-known text relating to the Lord's Supper and how it should be practiced. The Apostle Paul deals with the abuses that characterize the church at Corinth. He gives in some detail their failures in following what he had delivered to them in regard to the Lord's Supper. And then he describes, point by point, how to partake of the Lord's Supper in the right way. And that's where I'll read in that section, starting in 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Well, he continues there. Now notice what Paul said in regard to the Lord's Supper. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do what? You proclaim the Lord's death, now note the time frame, till He comes. When was that? Well, the AD 70 folks said that's AD 70. That's when the Lord came. The coming of Christ was in AD 70. So what should they do in regard to the Lord's Supper? They ought not to have it. Because to be consistent, the Lord's Supper was only going to be observed until the coming of the Lord, and if it happened in AD 70, there should be no Lord's Supper now. Yet Brother Preston believes in the Lord's Supper now. There are some, I understand, among the AD 70 folks who have tried to maintain consistency, and so they've quit having the Lord's Supper. Because they can understand this point. The Lord's Supper, according to Paul's instruction, was to be kept or observed till He comes. They believe that He came in AD 70, therefore they recognize no Lord's Supper anymore. Now those people at least are consistent in that regard, though they're wrong, because they have an erroneous view with reference to the coming of the Lord. The Lord's Supper is to be done as long as this world continues, which will happen until the coming of Christ, the time of resurrection and judgment and the end of the world. We are to remember the Lord's death in this practice on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7. But AD 70 folks ought not to do that because they believe the coming of the Lord happened in AD 70. thus the Lord's Supper should not be practiced any longer. Brother Preston and those who would agree with him thus are inconsistent with the Bible on that point. Now, the third matter I asked him about was marriage. He believes in marriage today. I think that Brother Preston himself is married. Well, what about that? What about marriage today if you believe the AD 70 doctrine? Turn with me to Luke chapter 20 and verse 34. Jesus answered a situation that was proposed to him by his contemporaries. He said, "The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage." Now there in Luke 20, what Jesus said is, they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, the world to come, and to have a part in the resurrection of the dead, don't marry, and they are not given in marriage. The point is that if the resurrection has already occurred, and we're in that post-resurrection time frame, people shouldn't be married. And yet he is. So another inconsistency in practice with his doctrine in regard to the AD 70 position. If you believe that the resurrection of the dead occurred in AD 70, then you ought to believe that marriage was abolished. Because Jesus said, in the resurrection, using Matthew's account, in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. So there are a number of different issues wherein the AD 70 position is fraught with inconsistencies. Inconsistencies with the Bible and inconsistencies in regard to its own position. Now, let me go to a few passages that address this resurrection of the dead and see what the Bible actually has to say. In John chapter 5 and verse 28, our Lord said this, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth." Now note, those who are in the graves, dead people, what's going to happen? There's going to be an hour when those people are going to come forth. Now you remember when Jesus performed the miracle in the raising of Lazarus, He announced, "Lazarus, come forth." And what happened? Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now, at the coming of our Lord, there will be something of that sort to occur, but much more generally, that all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. That's not two resurrections. That's two results of people being raised from the dead. Depending upon the lives that people have lived, some will go to be with God forever and others will be in eternal separation from God in the torments of hell. But all are going to be raised. A resurrection of people from the graves. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. Now, of course, there are many other passages that give information concerning the resurrection, but one of those that does so with some interesting information is 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," which is where the AD 70 brethren fall down considerably, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort." Now here's what verse 18 says that they did. "Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. and they overthrow the faith of some. What were Hymenaeus and Philetus doing? They were teaching error about the resurrection. I'd like to know more about their specific points and how they argued, but I know basically what it says here. That their claim was that the resurrection is already past. Now you know that's what our AD 70 brethren believe. The resurrection is already past. It occurred over 1900 years ago. There is no future resurrection of the dead. Now again, when they say the resurrection of the dead happened in AD 70, they don't believe in a bodily resurrection. They introduce some kind of figurative kind of resurrection involving Israel. But the resurrection of the New Testament that we're talking about is a bodily resurrection, just like the resurrection of Jesus. He's the first fruits. There are people who say the resurrection is already past. Now, are they telling the truth? The simple answer is no. They overthrow the faith of some, which makes it a dangerous doctrine. It is a subverting of the faith of people to claim the resurrection happened sometime in the past and that we do not anticipate a resurrection from the dead. That was a dangerous doctrine then, so much that Paul warned about these false teachers and the danger they posed to those who were seeking to follow God. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. And I want us to look, obviously there's much more here than we could talk about in just a few minutes. But I want us to look especially at this passage from the viewpoint of a response to the AD 70 position. Does the Bible teach that the resurrection of the dead happened in AD 70, or does it teach it is yet future and at this point unfulfilled? Let's look at Paul's argumentation. He first points out concerning the gospel that there are certain facts of the gospel that are clearly established in the Word of God, and that is that Jesus died for our sins, verse 3, that He was buried, verse 4, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And as testimony to the truth of the claim of resurrection, Paul cites various eyewitnesses. Cephas, the 12, over 500 brethren at once, and various others. There were numerous people, as many as 500 at one time, who saw Jesus after He was raised from the dead. Now, the AD 70 folks will say, oh yes, Jesus' resurrection was a bodily resurrection. Well, what follows from that by Paul's argument? I contend the argument of Scripture is that we will similarly be raised. That is, at some time, if we have died during the course of this world, we're going to be raised in the fashion that Jesus was, a bodily resurrection. Let's show that. There were some in Corinth who were teaching error concerning the resurrection. It may not have been just the same as what Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching. They said the resurrection is past already. But there were some in Corinth who were saying there is no resurrection. Now, that might be saying the same thing, but it could be a little different. Verse 12, now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, basically, so far as now, that's what Brother Preston says. That's what AD 70 folks say. There's no resurrection of the dead now. It happened, all of it, back there in AD 70. So the position they hold could be likened to what these in Corinth back in the first century were saying. So far as the present, there's no resurrection. Now, those who are contending there's no resurrection, Paul disputes with them. And he logically presents information consistently showing that they are wrong. Look at verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, just assume that's the case. What follows from it? Then Christ is not risen. Now, that makes perfect sense. If there is no resurrection, maybe along the line of what the Sadducees taught, then clearly Jesus wasn't raised. He couldn't have been raised if there's no resurrection. But that's not the end of it. Verse 14, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, All the efforts to take the gospel to people, the gospel that included the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as historical facts, and in a part of the belief system that people were to have, and a basis for which they ought to obey the commandments of the Lord, that preaching is vain if Jesus wasn't raised. Furthermore, he says, and your faith is also vain. Now, since we cannot be saved apart from faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6, then that means we're just lost. Well, Paul goes on basically to argue that. Verse 15, yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Notice again and again that Paul parallels the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of others, a general resurrection from the dead. Paul is not saying, now the resurrection of Christ is one thing, and this other resurrection is something totally different. It's a spiritual resurrection. It's a figurative resurrection. It happened back in A.D. 70. No, Paul, in fact, is arguing for parallelism between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection that some in Corinth were denying, but for which Paul was contending. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Everybody is lost. If this A.D. 70 position were true, then everybody today is lost. Because the resurrection is essential as a feature of our belief system, so to speak, an essential part of the gospel. But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ wasn't raised. And if Christ wasn't raised, then we're still in our sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Christians who have died are just gone. There's no hope for them if this position is true. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Notice how sad a state is reached if we take the position there's no resurrection of the dead. But again, the A.D. 70 position essentially is that, so far as for us today. And anyone since A.D. 70, there is no resurrection since A.D. 70. It was all fulfilled back then. But verse 20 brings comfort to us. Paul said, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Now, what does that prove? Well, if Christ was risen from the dead, again, a bodily resurrection, not a figurative one of some kind, then these other things fall in place. If Christ was raised, that shows there is a resurrection, and these false teachers are shown to be false teachers. And now we have hope, and the gospel that we have believed is sustained, and our faith is on the right kind of foundation, and our following Christ is worthwhile, and we have the heavenly hope. Well, he discusses some things related to that in the following verse, but I want to skip on down a little bit for the sake of time. And a question that would be quite reasonably asked is, well, if there's a resurrection, what about the body? What kind of body do people have in the resurrection? If the body is raised, then tell us about that body. Well, Paul addresses that. And I'll not read all of the context there, but enough to get the point across. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. The body we have is subject to death and decay. It is raised in incorruption. When we are raised from the dead, the body will no longer be corruptible. It will be incorruptible, no longer subject to death and decay. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory.